Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Mario Ritter. Our program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules while bringing you stories and information from the U.S. and around the world. Today, we bring you health stories about drug-resistant bacteria and about the Zika virus in the U.S. We have a story about a vote in Germany raising protests in Turkey. Later, we bring English learners our weekly Everyday Grammar program. But first, Brian Lynn tells us about a foreign policy speech by Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and reaction to it from Republican candidate Donald Trump.
Hillary Clinton, the U.S. Democratic candidate for president, gave a foreign policy speech Thursday that challenged the Republican candidate, Donald Trump. Clinton is a former U.S. Secretary of State and the leading candidate for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. Trump, a Republican, is her likely opponent in the presidential election. Clinton spoke during a visit to San Diego, California. She said that, if elected, her foreign policy as president would greatly differ from Trump's. Clinton said she believes in a smart and principled foreign policy. She said that Trump's approach to foreign policy and other serious issues is dangerously incoherent. I believe the person the Republicans have nominated for president cannot do the job, Clinton said. She said that electing Trump would be a historic mistake for the United States. She also called Trump temperamentally unfit to be commander-in-chief. Clinton criticized Trump for his plans to build a wall to keep illegal immigrants out of the U.S. and try to make Mexico pay for it. Clinton said this would only turn Mexico into an enemy. We're still the last best hope for Earth. We are not a country that cowers behind walls, she said. Clinton also spoke about Trump's call to temporarily ban Muslims from entering the United States. She said the plan would be a huge propaganda victory for Islamic State. Clinton said that when Trump insults Muslims and Mexican Americans, he is insulting many U.S. military members from those groups. Trump has criticized the NATO alliance as obsolete and requiring too much money from the United States. Clinton said that if NATO is weakened, the U.S. will be increasingly isolated and countries like Russia will be celebrating. In his usual way, Trump reacted quickly to the speech on social media. The Republican hopeful sent out tweets live as Clinton spoke. Crooked Hillary no longer has credibility. Too much failure in office. People will not allow another 4 years of incompetence, one tweet read. Bad performance by Crooked Hillary Clinton, reading poorly from the teleprompter. She doesn't even look presidential, said another. I'm Brian Lynn.
German lawmakers voted Thursday to recognize as genocide the century-old killings of Armenians by Ottoman Turks. Katie Weaver has this.
Germany joined about 20 other countries that recognize the killings as genocide. Historians estimate that the Ottoman Turks killed as many as 1.5 million Armenians between 1915 and 1917. Armenia has long sought international recognition of the event as genocide. Turkey has confirmed that thousands of Armenians died during World War I, but the Turkish government has denied that the killings represented a campaign of genocide. The Turkish government ordered Germany's top diplomat go to the foreign ministry in Ankara after the German parliament's vote. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan criticized the vote. The resolution adopted by the German parliament will seriously impact relations between Germany and Turkey, he said. Erdogan spoke to reporters during a visit to Kenya. The Turkish president is seeking to extend his powers. He can reach that goal two ways. He can call and win a special nationwide election, or a two-thirds majority in parliament can approve the extension. Political observers say either way is dependent on a weakening of Turkey's Nationalist Action Party, or MHP. Former Interior Minister Meral Akşener is seeking to lead the party. She also is increasingly seen as the biggest threat to the president and his efforts to change the constitution. Recently, large crowds gathered to see Akşener during her visit to Turkey's Black Sea area. The area is a center of Turkish nationalism. The MHP once had a strong following there. However, the ruling AKP has taken votes from the MHP in recent elections. The MHP's support collapsed in general elections last November. The party lost half its seats and won just enough to enter parliament. Many of its supporters voted instead for the AKP. This helped the ruling party gain a large majority. Akşener served in the government in the 1990s. Attila Yeşilada says that makes Akşener a possible threat to President Erdogan and the AKP. Yeşilada is a Turkey politics expert with Global Source Partners.
The real threat to Erdogan is going to come from the center-right. And Meral Akşener has very strong center-right credentials. She was Interior Affairs Minister. You know, she was there when the army and the security forces purged PKK from Turkey. So a very tough woman. And journalists who follow her trail in Anatolia report huge interest. Huge convoys are greeting her wherever she goes. I mean, we're talking about 400, 500 vehicles.
Akşener is hoping to replace Devlet Bahçeli as the MHP chief. The current MHP leadership has gone to court to block her from calling an emergency party conference. Observers say there are reports that Erdogan was responsible for a series of legal delays. Turkey's highest administrative court finally ruled the conference must be held. Kadri Güzel writes opinion pieces for Turkey's Cumhuriyet newspaper and El Monitor website. He says the party meeting could have a far-reaching effect on Turkish politics.
According to surveys, if Akşener replaces Devlet Bahçeli in MHP, she will push MHP public support to unprecedented levels, also making impossible Erdogan to realize his dreams of becoming a constitutional dictator or to have his parliamentary majority in a snap election anytime soon. That's why Erdogan will prevent Akşener becoming MHP leader for any cost.
Political observers say an Akşener-led MHP could offer Turkish voters a conservative alternative to the AKP. I'm Katie Weaver.
Bacteria that resist antibiotic drugs are a growing problem facing medical workers. Now, doctors are facing a bacterium that resists all known drugs. Ana Mateo tells us about these dangerous new sources of infection.
Doctors have identified a powerful bacteria that cannot be killed with antibiotics. The bacteria, called a superbug, was found in a woman from Pennsylvania. Tom Frieden is the head of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. He says this new bug is resistant to every antibiotic available, including colistin. Colistin is used only as a last measure, as the drug can cause organ damage. The woman is infected with a rare kind of E. coli bacteria, known as CRE. The version she has includes a gene that is resistant to colistin. This is its first appearance in the United States. Researchers who studied the case in Pennsylvania wrote about their findings in Antimicrobial Agents and Chemotherapy, a publication of the American Society for Microbiology. They wrote that the case could signal the development of a truly pan-drug-resistant bacteria. Health officials consider CRE nightmare bacteria. They can kill up to 50% of infected patients. Frieden expressed his concern about losing antibiotics, what he calls miracle drugs.
We know now that the more we look, the more we're going to find. And the more we look at drug resistance, the more concerned we are. We need to do a very comprehensive job protecting antibiotics so that we can have them and our children can have them. We need to make new antibiotics, but unless we have better stewardship and better identification of outbreaks, we will lose these miracle drugs. The medicine cabinet is empty for some patients. It is the end of the road for antibiotics unless we act urgently.
As bacteria that resist antibiotics spread, treatment for such infections could be seriously limited, the Washington Post newspaper reported. Scientists and public health officials have warned that usual medical operations, minor infections, and pneumonia could become deadly or very difficult to treat. I'm Ana Mateo.
Concerns over the spread of the Zika virus are growing as cases are reported in more countries. Kathleen Strzok has this story about the first case of a serious birth defect linked to the Zika virus in the U.S.
A baby girl born in New Jersey to a mother infected with the Zika virus has severe microcephaly, say health officials. A 31-year-old woman visiting the U.S. from Honduras was infected during pregnancy, said a doctor from the Hackensack University Medical Center. The mother was bitten by the Aedes mosquito and came to the United States for treatment after Zika symptoms were discovered. Microcephaly is a birth defect that causes small head size and developmental problems. The premature newborn in New Jersey also suffers from intestinal and visual issues, reported NorthJersey.com. The baby girl was delivered through cesarean section, or surgically, and is completely Zika affected, said a hospital spokesperson. Confirmation of the virus in the newborn is still pending tests, he said. The Zika virus is mainly transmitted via the Aedes mosquito. The connection between Zika and microcephaly was first discovered last year in Brazil, where more than 1,300 cases have been confirmed. All cases are considered related to Zika infections in the mothers. The outbreak is affecting parts of Latin America and the Caribbean. I'm Kathleen Strzok.
Next, Mernoush Karimian Ainsworth tells us about a campaign to bring attention to gun violence.
This is what's trending today. Americans observed Gun Violence Awareness Day on Thursday. Mass shootings have become very common in the United States, but the country remains divided over what to do about it. Some Americans want stronger gun controls. Others say people should be free to carry guns wherever they want to protect themselves. 3 years ago, a group of teenagers from the South Side of Chicago launched a campaign. The group asked their classmates to honor Hadia Pendleton, a victim of gun violence, by wearing orange shirts. The color orange represents the value of human life. The local action has grown into a national movement called Wear Orange. The hashtag Wear Orange can be seen all over Twitter and Facebook. Many famous American buildings or structures were lit up in orange on Thursday to help spread public recognition of the movement. One such building was the Empire State Building in New York City. Many famous Americans and organizations expressed support for the movement. President Barack Obama's official Twitter page urged people to speak out against gun violence. Director, producer, and actor Ron Howard advised people not to just hashtag wear orange, but also to take action and write to lawmakers about the issue. The rights group Amnesty International supported the hashtag Wear Orange movement by tweeting, "Every person, everywhere, has a right to live safe from gun violence." Victims of gun violence and their families also used social media to show their support for the hashtag Wear Orange movement. Kate Ranta was a victim of gun violence. In her Facebook post, she wrote that she is wearing orange for those who were injured and have to live forever with the physical and emotional scars. Some people disagree that guns are the problem. One Twitter user wrote that guns are not violent. People are. Another Twitter user objected to hashtag wear orange because he believes that it is another way progressives are trying to ban guns from lawful citizens. The issue of gun safety and gun control continues to be debated across the country. And that's what's trending today. I'm Mernoush Karimian Ainsworth.
Next, Jill Robbins and Pete Musto tell us about verbs you need to know to give advice. That sounds like something we ought to listen to.
For VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. This week, we are going to show you how to give advice using modal verbs. Modal verbs, called modals for short, are auxiliary verbs
that express a speaker's attitude and the strength of that attitude. For example,
he should visit Prague.
In this sentence, should is the modal verb, and visit is the main verb. The simple form of a verb goes after a modal. Do not add the third person S to a verb after a modal. It would sound strange to say,
he should visit Prague.
Or,
he should to visit Prague.
The correct way is,
he should visit Prague.
There are about 17 modals in English. Grammar experts do not agree on an exact number. Today, we will focus on three common modals used for giving advice: should, ought to, and had better.
Let's start with should. Should has multiple meanings. It can be used to express certainty, such as, he should be here by 5 o'clock. Should can be a substitute for the conditional word if. You might hear someone say, should you need help, just ask me. But more often, we use should to give suggestions and friendly advice, such as,
you should apply for that job.
Or,
you should try that new restaurant.
The past form of the modal should is should have plus the past participle. For example,
I should have brought my wallet.
Notice that the main verb brought is in the past participle form. Use should have to express regret or a negative feeling about the past. Imagine you trusted someone and that person later cheated on you. You could say,
I should have known better than to trust him.
The Beatles used the expression in a popular song.
The next modal we will talk about is ought to. Ought to is another modal for giving advice. Sometimes ought to sounds more like oughta, as in this romantic song by Al Green. To is similar in meaning to should, but it is not used as often. In modern American English, ought to is seldom used with the past tense or in the question form. Let's move on to had better. Had better is stronger than should and ought to. Had better carries an indirect threat. For example, if you said,
you had better finish that report.
You are not making a polite suggestion. You are making an indirect threat. In other words, if you don't finish the report, you are in trouble. Authority figures sometimes use had better when speaking to people below them. Parents also use this form often. Listen to cartoon character Mallory Archer. Mallory is the head of a spy agency. People think she is arrogant and heartless. Listen to her tone when she uses had better.
Gopher, I'll send up some help. And Missy, you had better watch it.
As you can hear, Mallory is not making a polite suggestion. She is threatening someone in a lower position. Had better is not always impolite. It could express a sense of urgency, as in,
"Your plane is leaving. You had better run."
In other words,
"If you don't run, you will miss your flight."
Had better has no past tense or question form.
Should, ought to, and had better can be difficult for English learners to hear. Native speakers often shorten these words in casual conversation. In rapid speech, modals seem to disappear because they are shortened and often fall on unstressed syllables. We will read some examples for you. The first sentence will be in slow, careful speech. Then we will read it again in rapid, informal speech.
I should have been listening to what she had to say.
I should have been listening to what she had to say.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You had better decide what you want to do.
You'd better decide what you want to do. That's all the advice we have for you today. There is much more to learn about modals. We will cover them in more detail in future episodes. Until then, you should practice modals with British punk band The Clash.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you've got to let me know.
I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Jill Robbins. Now it's your turn. Think of a friend that you would like to give some advice. Write to us in the comments section. Write two sentences using should, ought to, or had better, giving advice. We'll give you feedback.
Our last story today may make you rethink how strongly our feelings about the food we eat can affect behavior. Bruce Alpert tells us this story from Georgia.
Extremists rushed into a vegan restaurant in the Georgian capital, Tbilisi, on Sunday and threw meat at customers. Witnesses said the ultra-nationalists angrily entered the Kiwi Cafe, which does not serve meat or fish, reported Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. They were described as wearing sausages around their necks and carrying slabs of meat on sticks. The clash spilled onto the street outside, and neighbors joined in the fight. It was not clear who was fighting who, RFERL.com reported. Minor injuries were reported. On the cafe Facebook page, staff described the attackers as neo-Nazis. Employees were quoted as linking the attackers to the skinhead group known as Georgian Power. That organization denied it was involved on Monday. The Facebook post said the assailants asked neighbors about the restaurant weeks before the attack. They asked if the restaurant was a place for foreigners or if customers were gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. Some in Europe have linked the restaurant incident to a new round of culture wars. On one side are young people seeking to draw closer to Western Europe and its lifestyles. On the other side are neo-Nazis or skinheads who resist influence from Western culture in the former Soviet bloc country. I'm Bruce Alpert.
That's our program for today. I'm Mario Ritter. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Listen again tomorrow for the weekend edition of As It Is.